Blog Talk Radio.
This is Choices with your host, Judy Morio. And you and I know that everything in our lives exists because we made a choice about something. And the choices we made are what have brought us here today. And we must always accept the consequences of our choices. So, every show that I do comes from you. Make a choice. Give me a call. Write me a letter. Let me know what it is that you want to hear me talk about. What choices do you have to make that perhaps you're struggling with a bit, or perhaps you'd like to make better choices? Let me know. I'd love to talk with you about it. And thank you for joining us today as we talk about how to achieve power through faith. Things do, most of the time, work out for the best. And if we are to survive and be happy with our lives, we need to believe that. We need to make a choice to believe that things do work out for the best. We need to have the faith that things will go as we want them to, that we will be safe, that we will have clothing and shelter, and yes, even as Scarlett O'Hara said in the classic movie Gone with the Wind, after all, tomorrow is another day, because all days are not bad. Some days are really, really good. Some days are kind of bad. Lots of wonderful things happen to us in our lifetime. Life is a series of ups and downs, and we need to believe that eventually things will work out for the best. So let's talk about faith. What is faith anyway? Well, faith is the confident assurance that something we believe is true or something we desire is going to happen. It is the absolute certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though there is no tangible proof. You know, in today's stressful world, people have a greater need for spirituality than ever before. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And we do need that spirituality. We need to know there is a reason and a purpose for our lives. And we also have a need to know that we aren't floundering about on our own out here. I think that's why some people seem to get so lost, is because they feel like they're so alone, that they have no one to help, no one to talk to. But we need to know that we aren't floundering about here on our own. We must absolutely understand and know in our hearts that there is a power in the universe bigger than we are, and that this power is with us and for us, and this power gives us strength in good times and in bad times, and this power is always supporting and comforting and challenging and guiding and loving us. See, people without faith feel lost and empty and alone, and the sad part is, many times, they don't even know why they feel that way. Faith is a very personal thing. This power is whatever it means to you. Many of us have different names for this power. How you sense, feel, and communicate with the power is your personal choice. Many of us believe as we do because we were born into our faith, or we were taught as children to believe in a certain doctrine or a certain religion. And many of us have been taught that there is only one way to believe and to be faithful. I believe there are many paths to a spiritual awakening. I choose to call the power in my life God. This is what I was taught and what I am comfortable believing. I also believe that whatever you call this power, whether it's Creator, Buddha, creative intelligence, spirit, or cosmic consciousness, a higher power is there for everyone. And once you accept that there is a higher power and find your own expression of your faith, you will be amazed at what your belief and how you feel about this belief, what it will do for your confidence. This belief in a higher power gives us the strength to get through the tough times. It gives us the courage to face change and step out into new adventures. Courage is the willingness to maintain our faith, even in the face of all contradictions. Whenever we find ourselves resisting our life circumstances, rather than reacting out of fear, anger, or despair, We can choose positive actions to get us out of undesirable circumstances. Whenever we wonder if the positive experiences we want in our lives will ever come about, well, we must stay focused on the good that is already present in our lives and be thankful for the blessings we have. When my friend Sharon's son was born, the doctor told her that due to a heart problem, her son would not live beyond the age of 2. She and her husband had a solid faith in God and an unwavering belief that their son would survive. They celebrated and gave thanks for every day of his life, and instead of accepting a death sentence, they held to their faith and they built a future, and their son is now 29 years old. When you choose to live anchored in faith instead of thinking about what you lack and your limitations, you will feel much calmer and more peaceful. You will be better able to think clearly and find solutions to problems, to make the right decision, and to choose the right path for your life. Instead of running around in a frenzy, grabbing anything and everything that looks like an easy answer, choose. Choose the right answer. Choose to believe. Choose to have faith. Anytime you act out of fear, you're giving up your power. Kim Kawasaki states in her book, Rich Woman, while fear can warn us of life-threatening events, it can also be a killer of dreams, a killer of opportunities, a killer of our own personal growth and passion, a killer of living life to its absolute fullest. And when you choose faith instead, you will have more control over your life and more power to make things happen. See, we have to learn to ask. Ask for what it is we want. Ask for what we need. And then be willing to listen for the answer. A lot of us ask, but we don't listen. And sometimes the answer is different than what we thought it would be. So we need to learn to listen. Kate was supposed to have a meeting after work, but she forgot the paper she needed for her meeting, so she turned around and drove home to get them. And it was August and hot. And when she got home, she went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, but no water came out of the faucet. She went on to her meeting, and while driving back home, she was thinking about not having any water and wondering what she was going to do. And she actually asked out loud as she was driving, God, what am I to do? And then she heard a voice that said, call Thelma. Now, Thelma is a partner in a water drilling company, and she's a friend of Kate's. So Kate called her and said, I've got a problem. No, I've actually got two problems. I don't have any water, and I don't have any money. And Thelma replied, well, we can definitely help you with the first, and we'll work on the second. Thelma sent one of the crew members out to check on the water problem and found the pump needed to be replaced. By the next day, Kate had a new pump and was able to pay for it in installments. In addition, the drilling company offered her a better-paying job than the one she had, so she went to work in their office. Things do work out for the better. Most of us want a better life, whatever we believe that to be. For some, it might be a bigger or better house or money in the bank, while for others, it could be good health or more leisure time. It's not selfish to seek the best for you and your family. It's only selfish when we want to keep it from others. We were meant to do great things. We were meant to have happy and prosperous lives. Learn to make your request known and do it with thanksgiving and with acceptance. You know, it's God's answers, not yours. I've talked to God my entire life, and my mother was a very spiritual person. She knew her Bible backwards and forwards. She knew the life stories of all the people in the Bible, as well as who was related to whom. She told us these wonderful stories with enthusiasm and kept us fascinated for hours. She taught us that good begets good, and she cleaned us up and took us to Sunday school and church, and afterwards we'd always discuss the lesson we heard that day. We prayed together as a family at night, and she taught us not to be prejudiced against people of other colors or other faiths. And most of all, she taught us it was more important to demonstrate our faith than to talk about it. And as a teenager, I prayed God would take care of my family and make things happen the way I wanted them to happen. I tried to make bargains with God that if he would give me what I wanted, I wouldn't smoke or I wouldn't take my brother's car and race it on the country roads. As I grew older, I learned you don't make those kind of bargains with God. I did continue going to church every Sunday and praying every night and believing that all I had to do was go to church and pray and be kind to other people and everything would be perfect. But life happened anyway. Lots of things went wrong. My sister was in an accident where the car rolled over her arm and crushed the bone. My dad died. My brother lost his legs in a motorcycle accident. My niece died in a boating accident, and my nephew's motorcycle accident destroyed his face, blinded him, and left him in severe pain for the rest of his life. In addition, my marriage failed and I divorced. So many things failed to go according to my plan that I began to wonder where God was and why he let things happen the way they did and why he was not making life happen the way I believed it should. After all, I was a good person. But you see, I was still trying to make those bargains, and I wasn't listening. I was talking, which I do a lot of, as you know. I talk a lot, but I wasn't listening. And one day, I was driving to visit my mom at her home in southern Utah. I had just returned the day before from Africa, and it had been a very long flight. I was absolutely exhausted. And as I was driving up through the mountains, a small animal ran in front of my truck, and I swerved to miss it. And when I did, I lost control of the vehicle. And the next thing I knew, that truck was rolling end to end, and everything seemed to be in slow motion. And I remember thinking, it's okay to die now because I'm right with everyone. It's okay to die now because I feel like I'm right with everyone. I didn't have any animosities, any arguments, any unsettled business. And as I was rolling top to bottom with that truck, I seemed to hear a voice say, no, it's not time yet. Now, I don't know if I heard that voice inside or outside of my head, but I heard it, no, it's not time yet. And at that same moment, I saw a wispy cloud of white air. It seemed to cover me and hold me. And the truck continued to roll, and I could see pieces of the metal breaking off and flying past. When it stopped rolling, I crawled out of the truck and up the embankment to the road. There were big pieces of glass and metal on the road, and I started pulling the debris to the side so no one would hit it when they came around the curve. My truck was upside down, and my personal belongings were literally scattered all over the hillside. It was a while before anyone drove by. At last, some boys found me wandering along the road and called 911. An ambulance took me to the hospital in the nearest town, and as we rode along, the young attendant picked glass off my face and out of my eyelashes with tweezers. When they examined me at the hospital, I had a dislocated shoulder and was in shock. Other than those minor things, I wasn't hurt. Now, considering how much glass had shattered, and it was in my hair and on my face and on my clothes, it was surprising there wasn't even a scratch on me. Not even a cut. When I told my mother about the experience later, she said, the Holy Spirit covered you and protected you. I believed her then, and I still believe that that is what happened. To this day, I still believe. I don't know how anything else could have held me to that seat and kept me from getting cut up and broken. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. On this show, we talk about the choices that you have to make every day. And listeners, I do want to talk about the things that you want to hear about and what's important to you. I want to be sure we talk about what's on your mind. So write to me, Judy, J-U-D-I, at judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And our topic today is about taking action on our faith, which also happens to be one of the topics in my book, You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power. This book can be found on my website, judymorio.com, under the products tab. And also, while you're at the website looking at the products that we have, Sign up for our newsletter. We send out a great monthly newsletter with all kinds of tips and ideas on how you can make better choices in your life, both in your personal and your professional life. And take a look at our magazine. Click on that link there at the website, and it'll take you right over to Choices Magazine. Or, if you like, you can go to http://bit.ly/15YSV. It might be easier just to go to judymorio.com and click on the link, or you can use the bit.ly URL, http://bit.ly/15YSV. Thank you for listening with us today. This is Judy Morio, and we are talking about the choices that we have to make in our spiritual life. One of the things that's so important to us is to make a conscious connection to God or to the power or whatever it is that you call it, because we need to feel connected. You know, so many times in my life, I didn't always feel connected. And then when this accident happened to me, I realized that it wasn't God who had separated from me. It was me who had separated from God. I was still saying my prayers every night, but I wasn't saying them with belief. I was saying the words, but I wasn't listening for the answers. Instead of trying to get God to fix my problems, I started asking God to help me find the answers, to use my knowledge, and to understand how to create harmony in my life and the lives of others. Just last week, I had a lady come by one of the book signings, and she said, "Can I pray with you?" And I said, "Well, yes, you can." And she prayed for foresight. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to ask for, foresight. How can we be better? How can we have the foresight to handle the things that are coming? How can we get ready? Wow. You know, we have to invite him into our daily lives. And once I started doing that and inviting him to my speeches and my programs and my conferences and into my training rooms, as well as acknowledging his presence in those rooms and in my home and in my heart, and asking him to touch the hearts of the people in my audiences, my connection grew strong again. You see, there are no limitations placed on us by God. We're the ones who put the limitations on ourselves. We're supposed to live constructively, with purpose, with passion, with power. We were born to be happy and creative, to enjoy life and prosper to the fullest. We're the ones who set ourselves up for failure and unhappiness. And when we do this, it is usually done subconsciously. We aren't even aware that the actions we are taking are self-defeating. We must constantly concentrate on what we are becoming. Can you imagine if Nelson Mandela, the first black president of South Africa, had given up on becoming what he was to become? South Africa never would have become the one man, one vote, free nation that it is today. If we take time daily to sense the presence of God in our lives, faith will take hold and the chance of something new and wonderful will be more likely to happen. We will go from fear to faith, from aloneness to connectedness, from lack to abundance, and to happiness. A power greater than us, God, created many systems. Everything in the universe follows an orderly course. Whether it's the seasons, the planets, or our lives, there's a system. You heard it said, what you sow, so shall you reap. In other words, what we think, say, and do comes back to us. And since this is true, then shouldn't we be more concerned with what we give than what we get? Shouldn't we show people we love them and care about them without being overly concerned if they love us or care about us? Shouldn't we make sure the words which come out of our mouths say what we really believe? Surely we are intelligent enough to realize that our environment responds to our mental state. We will always be experiencing the effect of our thoughts and actions. We create our own limitations. If we say we are too old, then we are. If we say we are too fat, then we are. If we say we're too stupid, then we are. If we think and say negative things long enough, our subconscious will eventually, it'll believe them, and it'll act on them. So whatever the negative thought is, it has to be changed if we're to change the effect it has in our lives. We must learn to bless our lives instead and be grateful for what we have, even when we feel that what we have is not much. To find fault with ourselves is really finding fault with our Creator, and that doesn't make sense. We are each perfect in our own way. We must not look at our mistakes or bad habits as flaws, but think of them as opportunities to grow. If you find yourself in an undesirable situation, don't spend too much time belaboring how you got there. Instead, think about how to get on. Get out of there and get to where you want to be. Sit down and make a list of the options you have. There are always options, no matter what circumstances you might be in. Well, you might have lost a promotion only to find out the person you deemed the least qualified got that job. And worst of all, that person could become your boss. Now, you can choose to plan some kind of revenge, decide to become a lousy employee, or you can create another option. You can choose to change your attitude and cooperate with that person. You might even choose to leave and go to work somewhere else. It's possible that the result of what was originally perceived as a negative event could actually force you to take action. It might be exactly what you needed to make the necessary changes that could result in your being in the position to move up to a higher level than you ever even imagined. You could even put yourself in a place where you could become the CEO of the company in a very short time. People who spend all their time thinking about what is wrong almost never discover the joy of living. They fail to see that there is potential in every event, no matter how negative or wrong it may seem at the time. There is potential in every event, and we must realize we are not destined to fail. We are not destined to have sickness. We are not destined for unhappiness. Sure, many things are not right in this world, and many things need to be changed. We can make these changes as long as we work with the laws of nature rather than against them. Work with the laws of nature. Actually, the only thing we should be concerned with is fear. We can deal with the circumstances around us. It is the lack of confidence in God that should be our cause for concern. The power of God is with us. When we give up fear and hate, we will come to understand the unity of life. We are all connected to each other. Our cells are regenerated and renewed by the air we breathe, and this is the same air that someone near us just exhaled. By virtue of the fact that we breathe each other's air, it is easy to see how connected we are to each other. Why, do you ever cry over something that happened to someone you don't even know? You might be watching the evening news as a reporter talks to someone who has just experienced a devastating fire or an earthquake or some equally devastating loss, and you find yourself in tears. Why? Because we are all connected. As much as you may want to deny it or think you can't be a part of someone you don't like, we are joined by a biological makeup and our spirituality. Anxiety about our affairs indicates belief, the wrong kind. You are afraid, and therefore you believe things will just not work out. You either have fear or you have faith. You can't have both at the same time. Doubt is a belief. You are choosing to believe the negative instead of the positive when you have doubt. When you wish things will work out for the best, but you aren't sure they will, then you are living in hope, not in faith. We have to stop blaming our limitations upon God. It is not God who limits us. It is our ignorance of the consequences and the consciousness that God has given us. It's our ignorance of the consciousness which God has given us. We need to boost ourselves up to greater wisdom, guidance, and self-expression. If we don't, the consequences will not be what we want them to be. If you will take the time every day to sense the presence of God, you will pass from fear into faith. Now start today by giving yourself permission to have faith and belief in order to achieve the things you want to achieve. Start today. This is so important. And don't misunderstand, faith by itself is not the answer to all that is wrong. While we rely on faith for guidance and comfort, it is our actions that produce the results. We must act on the love and the peace that comes from being connected to God. We can sit on a mountaintop and contemplate God and believe in our success in life, but unless we go out and take the steps that are necessary, nothing happens. There's an old story that you may have heard about a man whose home was flooded by the overflowing of a nearby river. And the water level was so high that the man's house was completely underwater except for the roof. And believing God would save him, the man crawled up on the roof and waited. The man standing on high ground threw him a rope and said, "Grab hold." And the man on the roof said, "No thanks, God will save me." And some other men came by in the rowboat and said, "Jump in." And the man on the roof said, "No, go ahead, God will save me." Then a police helicopter came by and offered to pick him up. And again he said, "No, go ahead, God will save me." And the water rose above the roof and the man drowned. And when he got to heaven, he asked God, "Why didn't you save me?" And God replied, "I sent you a rope, a boat, and a helicopter. Any one of those would have saved you. Why weren't you willing to do your part?" Now, I know that's just a funny old fable that's been passed down over the ages, but it's so true that we have to learn to do our part. You have to take what God offers you and use it to your best advantage, even when things are not going the way you had planned. As tough as this may be to understand, there is always a reason for the adversities and the challenges in our lives. You don't always have to spew forth religious platitudes, what you know or what you've learned. Sometimes what you know is for your own knowledge and gives you the confidence to do the things that you need to do. Demonstrate what you believe by your actions as well as your words. Your actions make the difference between what you have, what you don't have, and how you influence other people. We make choices every moment of every day. When we choose to trust God, take part in creating our own destiny, show gratitude for the progress we've already made, and stay focused forward. Stay focused forward. We will see miracles at every turn. Then and only then are we moving toward a future filled with unlimited possibilities. Then and only then. There was a poem my mom used to recite to me when I was a child that illustrates this point so well. She says, "I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty score. For life is just employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you've set the wages, why you must bear the task. I worked for a menial hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid." Faith is the confident assurance that something we believe is true or something we desire is going to happen. I am absolutely certain that what you hope for is waiting for you. And remember, your goal is your life ticket to a wonderful journey. You never want to look back on your life and say, "I wish I'd done it differently." So, get yourself a plan and act on your faith. And remember, you are more than enough.